Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. So glad to have you on the journey with us today. We're going to continue my series of walking through the Proverbs together. We're walking through Solomon's wisdom so that we can learn to live skillfully and make great financial decisions. And I hope you're enjoying this series. You know, the fear of the Lord is the cornerstone of all wisdom. He is the foundation. I've just made an observation I want to share with you. The highest risk business endeavor in the whole world, I've figured it out. It's people who try to make a living telling the future. I've been studying all the economic opinion this year for 2010. You know what I've learned? About half the people think that we are doomed, that the collapse is imminent, and that we're going in the tank, that America is going over the edge and into bankruptcy. There's another half of the economists out there that think this is our greatest opportunity to prosper, that we're coming back, that we're going to come out of this great recession being stronger and better than ever, and all of this federal policy is going to work, and they're just completely optimistic. You know what I've concluded about both groups? Neither one of them know. They cannot tell the future. As desperate as we are to want to know the future, they can't tell us. Listen to this from 1 Corinthians 1. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. The Lord doesn't let anybody see into the future. We can study trends, we can study data, we can research, we can make predictions, we can have inclinations, we can be prepared for what we think's going to happen, but we can never know from one second in history to the next what's actually going to happen. We did not know of this tremendous earthquake that was going to hit in Haiti until it happened. You may have thought you knew, but nobody can tell the future, especially when it comes to economic predictions. So we must learn to live by the power of God and by His wisdom. And His wisdom teaches us how to deal with the uncertainty of the future. And today we're going to talk about the wisdom skills that He's given us to navigate through an uncertain economic landscape. And I hope you'll stay with us. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back and continue walking through the Proverbs.
It can be a challenge at times to talk with your spouse about money. Husbands and wives have a harder time discussing finances than just about anything else. God doesn't want money to divide relationships. He wants your marriage and finances to grow stronger. Learn how in Money and Marriage God's Way, a new book from Crown Financial Ministries co-founder Howard Dayton. With unique sections for engaged couples, blended families, empty nesters, and even stay-at-home parents, Money and Marriage God's Way addresses common problems using biblical principles and practical advice. And as a bonus, there's a companion website with tools including a thorough online assessment to help couples understand their financial personalities in order to work together and solve their money challenges and set financial goals. Get Money and Marriage God's Way at 1-800-722-1976. An audiobook is also available at 1-800-722-1976 and crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today we're going to walk through the Proverbs, learning to live skillfully, and my hope is that you learn to make wise, godly financial decisions, and that this begins to change the way you actually make day-to-day decisions of how you manage the resources that God's entrusted to you. Now, I want to ask you a question. If I were to ask you right now to fill in the blank to this question, so-and-so is my source for financial wisdom, how would you answer that question? Who would you say? Would you take a second to honestly fill in the blank? Who is your source for financial wisdom? Now, I opened with 1 Corinthians, and we're going to get there, but I think it's very important you understand this. 1 Corinthians 1:20, where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? If you answered with the name of a man or a person or a ministry or an organization or a business or a planner or a guru, then you missed filling in the blank correctly. God just said, where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased. Listen to this. He's pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, as if there were something foolish about God. There is nothing foolish about God. But if God had any foolishness, what he's saying is on his worst day, his foolishness is wiser than man's wisdom. And the weakness of God, if he were weak, is stronger than man's strength. So to be wise, you must fill in the blank like this. My wisdom comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from money life, or Crown, or Chuck, or some other person that you may listen to or may derive knowledge from. That's not your source. Your source of wisdom must come from the Lord. And that's why I think Solomon said, the beginning of all wisdom is when you fear the Lord and you want to learn His ways. Now, in this series, we talked about wisdom skills, how to live skillfully. Wisdom skill number one, once you've established the fear of the Lord, is to learn to listen. We all talk too much. Just learn to listen. In fact, around our dinner table, we've started a little practice of about 2 minutes of complete silence while we're eating. Do you know how hard that is at my table? Did you notice that silence? It's difficult to just be silent and to learn to listen. But that's the beginning of wisdom. It's a wisdom skill. Here's wisdom skill number two, to continually learn, to always be seeking more and more knowledge, and to be seeking that from God and His wisdom, learning all that you can, never being closed and non-porous. Here was wisdom skill number three we talked about. Don't make financial commitments you cannot keep. You're going to end up in a trap. No matter how much you fear the Lord, no matter how good of a listener you may be, no matter how good of a learner you may be, if you don't have a good defensive strategy with what you have, you're going to make financial commitments you cannot keep. And the Proverbs tell us to run and get out of those traps. And here's wisdom skill number four, that you have to learn to save money. That's the best offensive strategy that you can have. It's actually easier to save money than it is to go earn money. Money that you already have, money God's already entrusted to you, learn to save it yourself. Like the ant, you remember? The ant who doesn't have a commander making him do it. Stop expecting somebody else to take care of it, and you do it. That's a great strategy. Now, today we're going to talk about wisdom skill number five. And here it is. Avoid corruption and deception of every kind, especially when it comes to money. Because money is where we're most often tested and tempted to be corrupt and to be deceived. Now, I'm going to go to Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 12. A scoundrel and villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who winks with his eye, signals with his feet, and motions with his fingers, who plots evil and deceit in his heart. He always stirs up dissension. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will be suddenly destroyed without remedy. Now think about that. This is a description of a person who's trying to get their own way by being dishonest and manipulative. Have you ever worked with anybody who asked you to be dishonest? Have you ever known a contractor who would maybe change or manipulate the invoices that he was receiving and try to pass those higher costs onto their client? Have you ever known a salesperson who would lie or cheat or make a funny little signal in a negotiation to a third party to try to get the upper hand and pull the wool over somebody's eyes? I remember reading an article in the business section of the Dallas Morning News years ago when a coin trader, a rare coin trader, talked about how good of a day it was when some unsuspecting person would bring in a very valuable coin and not know the value of it, and they would buy it for next to nothing. You know what they called that transaction? A rip. We just had a rip today, and they would high-five on a rip. What they were saying, it was code word for a rip-off. We just ripped off a fool. Now, in my view, that's a scoundrel and a villain. And the Lord says those are the people who will suddenly be destroyed without remedy, that it will ultimately catch up with them. And when you handle money in a corrupt and dishonest way, your expectation for longevity is zero. The Lord says it will not be allowed to continue. So let me talk about how this relates to you and I. If you have a good defensive skill with money and a good offensive skill, the Lord is telling us here that your management skill, how to perpetuate the effective stewardship of the resources you have, comes from your integrity and your honesty and your sincerity and the strength of your personal character. You will manage money and financial decisions according to the character that's in your own heart. And it's easy to get deceived about that, and it's why I want to go deeper on this topic when we come back. You're listening to Money Life. Today we're walking through the Proverbs, learning to live skillfully. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
The price of higher education has skyrocketed. According to a recent Gallup survey, families spend almost $15,000 per student per year of college, and many students often spend years just trying to decide which degree they need to pursue. Wouldn't it be better to help your child figure out what they need to study before they arrive on campus? You can, with the Career Direct Complete Guidance System from Crown Financial Ministries. Unlike other assessments that only examine one or two areas of career selection, Career Direct analyzes personality, interests, skills, and values. Your child can use it to explore career options and find the one God has uniquely gifted them for. Over 150,000 people of all ages have benefited from Career Direct. Check it out at careerdirectonline.org and get a free personality ID profile. That's careerdirectonline.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today we're walking through the Proverbs, learning to live skillfully, and we're talking about wisdom skill number 5, especially when it comes to money, avoid corruption and deception of every kind. And you know the worst kind of deception when it comes to money is self-deception, because our hearts can devise unbelievable schemes. We can rationalize and justify anything when it comes to money. You would be surprised at some of the emails and letters I get from Christians who want to know if it's okay not to pay their taxes or some other means to justify something they don't want to do. Is it okay to walk away from my house and not pay my mortgage? Is it okay to withhold payment from a vendor that I'm not getting along with? Or is it okay not to pay back my parents because they don't need the money anymore? Our hearts can devise all kinds of schemes, and we fail to see it as corruption and deception in our own self. It's so easy to see it and judge it in other people, but it's like we're blind when it comes to seeing it in ourselves. And we forget that the consequences of that kind of deception can be very, very severe. And I think that's why the Lord told us that you can expect to come to ruin if you're going to live that way. It's a foolishness that the world believes, but you shouldn't believe it. It's It's a form of deception that you have to be on your guard against. I was recently introduced to a survey by a ministry group that surveyed the worldview of people in over 30 nations, and they're aggregating this content right now, and so I can't really quote the source, but here's what I learned from them. That the number one problem and complaint of people in these 30 nations in the developing world where they were surveying is corruption. They say their system is corrupt and they hate corruption. It's killing them. They know it's a cancer. It's ruining their country. They want out of it. They wish it would go away. They wish it would be eradicated. It is truly killing the country from within. And they agree with it as the number one issue on an overwhelming basis. In fact, it's plain that they know the problem. But here were some other questions in the survey. Have you ever lied to anyone this week? You know what the overwhelming answer was? Yes. Is it okay to steal from someone else if you need something urgently? Yes. Would you be willing to take someone else's money if you knew you would never get caught? Yes. So do you see the problem in the survey? The number one answer of somebody else's problem was corruption, and then the vast majority of the people who answered that identified themselves as being corrupt in their behavior, but made no connection between how they behave and the problem in their own country. In other words, we see it over there, but refuse to see it inside our own heart. And oftentimes we're shocked when we see somebody go through a failure with money. And we say, how could that have happened? They were such good people. I had a friend, someone I knew very well years ago, who was operating a trust account inside a major bank. And one day the FBI moved into his beautiful office, and there he was in a coat and tie, all dressed up, looking good. And they put handcuffs on him, took him to jail, and filed charges against him for stealing and embezzling from the trust accounts of the bank. Everybody was shocked. Here was a God-fearing man, so we thought, married with children, very outstanding leader and citizen. How could this have happened? You know what happened? It turns out he had a sports gambling addiction. And from that addiction, he began to fall further and further behind in his financial obligations. And he didn't want to go through the embarrassment of getting caught, and so he devised a wicked scheme in his heart. He thought he could steal from the trust accounts, nobody would ever know, pay off these debts. Well, he came to ruin in an instant, just like the proverb promises, and it ruined his entire life. Here's what he was missing. In reality, absolutely no fear of God. He missed wisdom skill number one, because I believe when you fear God, you will avoid that kind of behavior, where you get yourself in that terrible financial mess. Number two, he made financial commitments he could not keep. And then finally, his heart devised what he thought was a way out, and he rationalized it. It reminds me of some of these anonymous letters that people send to the IRS. Almost every year, they receive these kind of rationalizations. Dear IRS, I cannot sleep at night, so here's $1,000 that I owe you. If I still cannot sleep, I'll send you the rest. You see, we can rationalize anything when it comes to our money. I think that's one of the reasons that these Ponzi schemes are falling apart right now, is that people justified these ridiculous investment schemes where they were going to make money endlessly with no downside risk and incredible inordinate returns, and money flowed into them by the billions. And then suddenly the economy turned down. And it was discovered that when the economy turns down and money doesn't flow into the Ponzi scheme, they can't keep them going. They can't be sustained. And these people who were thought to be outstanding citizens, upright, were discovered to be corrupt. And the greed and the lack of discernment by those who invested with them and got scammed by them was discovered. And it was painful. And it certainly ruined the lives of the one who deceived and plotted the scheme. But it also negatively impacted many, many people who were simply lacking wisdom and got caught up in a foolish financial trap. You know, corruption cannot succeed, and it's the ultimate test of your character if you're willing to be honest with money and to be honest with financial decisions, even when it hurts yourself. And there are many behaviors going on today that are contrary to God's word with the financial decisions people are making during this great recession. And I want to talk about some of those when we come back and we wrap up today. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley.
The Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money package from Crown Financial Ministries. This package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. With three colorful compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C, your kids will learn to give, save, and spend. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through a compelling story, simple Bible studies, and fun hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Help create the right financial habits in your children by investing in their future with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today we're talking about wisdom skills, walking through the Proverbs and learning to live skillfully. Wisdom skill number 5 is to avoid corruption and deception of every kind, and especially to guard your own heart against rationalizing your financial decisions. I was sent an article recently by one of our listeners who talked about the growing trend of people doing what is called a strategic walk away from their mortgage. It's not that they can't pay the mortgage. It's not that they're insolvent and facing foreclosure, but they're upside down on what they owe on their house and what it's worth. And so they see no hope of recovery for their value. So they're doing what's called a strategic walk away and just allowing the home to go into foreclosure because they don't want to continue paying for something they think is not going to ever achieve a break-even value. That's justification and gross rationalization. It's not proper thinking for someone who fears God. You know, there are two forms of testing with money. One is when you're under financial pressure, and the other is when you prosper. And both of these are tests of what's truly in your heart. Listen to this from Proverbs 30. Two things I ask of you, O Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Here's number one, keep falsehood and lies far from me. And number two, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you for my prosperity and say, who is the Lord? Or in my financial pressure, I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. You know, too little can lead to corruption and deception, and too much can lead to arrogance and the complete loss of the fear of the Lord. And so I want to ask you, are you being tested right now? And are you responding to that test as a fool or with wisdom? And if you're in financial pressure and tempted to be foolish, go back to fearing the Lord. Pray and ask for His forgiveness, ask for His deliverance, and ask for His daily provision to meet your needs and learn to trust Him. And you know, we're taught by Christ in the Lord's Prayer to ask for Him to give us this day our daily bread. And I know that's uncomfortable. We want our bread provided in monthly, quarterly, or yearly supplies. We don't want it to come daily. Our security is threatened, and we feel financially vulnerable in this economy. But we don't know the future. But the reality is we're always vulnerable. No matter how much you have or how little you have, there is no security in this world, and we can't be deceived to try to find our security in this world. We're to keep our lives free from the love of money and to be content with what we have because God said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. That's skillful living. I hope this has been a blessing to you. Well, I hope this program has been an encouragement to you. I would love to hear from you. Be sure and write me at chuckbentley@crown.org. And let me know if you're being encouraged through this ministry. I appreciate you joining us. You've been listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back again next time.